This is the third week of our series on what happens to us after we die. We're talking about death. And if you're visiting here for the first time or watching for the first time, you may be thinking, wow, this is the most depressing church I've ever been to. But actually, it's a healthy thing to talk about death. It's healthy. And we started a few weeks ago stating the obvious. Death is a part of life. No one gets out of here alive, and I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to be the exception. But even though we know that death is real, it still startles us. It even shocks us, because we believe, we know intuitively that there is something more. There has to be. And the reason that we know that, the reason that we believe that, is because God has written that longing for eternity on our hearts. Now, so far in the series, we've talked about two places, two destinations that we can end up immediately following our death. We talked about hell, which we said is a condition of eternal separation from God, right? Hell is everywhere God is not. And we also made it clear that God doesn't send us there. We choose it. The second destination we talked about is purgatory, which is a temporary place of preparation for the perfection of heaven. And then the third destination we talked about last week, the happy one, the one I think we all want to end up at one day, which is heaven. But the question, the one question that sits at the heart of that whole discussion about heaven, is how do you get there? How do you qualify? And as we said last week, you really can't. You cannot get into heaven on your own, and neither can I. On our own, we have no hope of heaven. That's the bad news. The good news is that we're not on our own. Because Jesus died and rose again, he has opened heaven to us. And so heaven is a gift that comes from Christ. But you may be thinking, well, if heaven is a gift from God, does that mean that what I do here on this earth doesn't matter? Hey, I can do what I want, anything I want, because Jesus gave me heaven. Why do we need to talk about prayer and giving and going to church and serving other people and being good? They're not earning my salvation, right? Right. So why do it? Salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone, so why bother with the whole Christian living part? Well, let's think that through. And one way to think that through is by looking at the gospel parable today that Jesus tells. He talks about a man who goes on a journey, and he calls in, you know, his workers, the people that worked for him, and he entrusted all of his possessions to them, his money especially, and to the one he gave 5 talents. To another guy, he gave 2, and to a third employee, he gave 1 talent. So what is a talent? A talent was a measure of currency. It was money, and it was a lot of money. A single talent would have been equivalent to about 15 years' worth of wages of the average working man at that time. And Jesus says that each one was given money according to their ability. And then the man went away. He went away for a long time, and then it says, after a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. I imagine it was such a long time that his servants might have come to wonder whether their master was ever coming back. But then he did. And when he did, he wanted to know where his money was and what they had done with it. 2 of the servants invested the funds, and the master was pleased. But the third guy, the one with the 1 talent, is brought in. And I got to tell you, if this were a movie soundtrack, there would be a change in the music. And it would sound kind of ominous. Maybe the Jaws theme. Because this guy didn't do anything with the money. He didn't do anything. He didn't invest it. He didn't put it in the bank. All he did was bury it in the ground. And his boss was furious. He ended up telling him, "You are a wicked and lazy servant." I sure hope Jesus never calls me that. Because wicked and lazy is a bad combination. And things just went downhill from there. Suffice it to say that the third guy was cast out into the utter darkness, meaning, well, hell. So I think that there are several lessons here when it comes to what to expect after death. God has entrusted us, each of us, with some of his resources. He's given us natural abilities. He's given us certain skills that we're good at, some spiritual gifts. To all of us, he has given some financial resources. And to all of us, he has given some measure of time. You could call all of those things talents. And like in the parable, they are not distributed equally. Some people have more money than other people. Some people have more intelligence than others. Some people have more musical ability than others, and so on. They are distributed unequally. But in the end, it's not so much a matter of how much you've been given as it is what you do with what you've been given. And one day, like in the parable, there will be an accounting, and you and I will be asked to give an account of what we have been given. And I can tell you, right now, what's on the final exam? Two questions. What did you do with what I gave you? And how did you serve my kingdom with it? Yes, salvation is a gift from God through Christ. There's nothing you can do to earn heaven. But that doesn't mean that what you do here on this earth is unimportant. It's critically important, as the parable shows us. Everything in my life and in your life, our effort, our work, our attempts, you know, to be good people, to live virtuously, to follow the commandments, to pray and to give and to serve other people, all those things we try to do are still necessary because they are ways in which we grow more and more into the character of Christ. And as we said last week, character is formed and strengthened through these good things that we try to do in this life. And your character is what determines where you go after you die. Because your character determines where you want to be, where you're prepared to be at the end of your life. So all of our lives, we're either hurting or helping ourselves on the way to heaven. And it makes sense then to make the best possible investment in your future that you can in this life. And I believe the greatest investment that you can make with your money, in particular, is right here in this local church. Because we are effectively connecting people to God and helping them to live in the light of eternity. As a church, we are making an eternal difference together in people's lives. Their eternal destinies are changing because of the work of this church. We're helping people grow closer to Christ and deeper to Christ, and that helps determine where they will go after they die. So it's the most important work that can be done anywhere. Because of your investment in this parish, for example, we are building a firm foundation of faith for children of all ages, from our Jesus Jam program on Sunday mornings for kids 3 and up, which has packed the 9 a.m. Mass with young families. You should come sometime. To our Spark program for middle school students, to our Ignite program for confirmation students, we are making Jesus matter in the lives of many kids in our parish. We are helping them to grow in their faith, and we are passing on the faith to the next generation. Because of your investment, close to 1,000 people every week come here to Mass or join us online to worship and develop a relationship with Jesus. And that will make an eternal difference in their lives. There are so many people in our parish, like you, who have made a great impact by what you have done and the financial support you have provided. And I just want to show you a video today of three people who inspired me. These are just a small number of people compared to all of you who have made such a difference, but we couldn't highlight all of you, so we're highlighting three people. So please take a look at this video.
Since our church was founded in the mid-1950s, with each successive generation, the congregation of St. Hilary has worked hard to build up the church and pass the baton to the next generation. We are the beneficiaries, both spiritually and materially, of the effort of all those who have gone before us. There are many, many people who have made great contributions in our parish. The video you are about to see highlights only a few of them. Al Trimbach had a heart for the poor and volunteered his time, talent, and treasure for the St. Vincent de Paul Society. David O'Connor left a legacy of faith and service that inspires his daughter and granddaughter to this day. Sharon Lewis has devoted the better part of her life to providing educational opportunities for disadvantaged children. Sharon also is the founding member of our Legacy Society and has provided in her will for St. Hilary Church and School. Three great people who left a lasting impact on this community. I hope this video will provide the spark for you to think about what you want your legacy to be.
Al was my soulmate, best friend, and the love of my life as my husband for 44 years. He was my everything. I thank God every day for Al's blessing in my life. Al lived his faith by action. He used to say he prayed with his feet. He grew up in a family that set an example and prioritized bringing light into someone else's life. Then he spent the last 20 years of his life being active in the St. Hilary Outreach Program, namely St. Vincent de Paul. He was drawn to St. Vincent de Paul's philosophy in advocating the rights and dignity of all. St. Vincent de Paul's primary purpose is to bring the love and peace of Christ to those who are suffering. But Al's religion was very important to him, and he wanted Jesus to be the reason.
Well, David was my father. David was one of the most humble, kind, generous people I had ever known. And it was as I got much older, because he didn't pass until I was 59, that I really understood where that came from his incredibly rough upbringing, very poor, in a very rural area.
David was, of course, my grandfather. When he walked into a room and when he spoke, commanded the room every single time.
This community nurtured him in a way that he said no other parish had in his whole life. So he kept getting more and more involved. There was just no better idea to really honor him than to have a scholarship here at St. Hilary. So there is, in fact, in place the David O'Connor Scholarship Fund, and it is set up specifically for children who are not in what we'll call the normal Marin socioeconomic status.
I think his overarching love for his faith and his relationship with God inspired me to have such a deeper faith and a relationship with God, and feeling such a part of the community here at St. Hilary. I don't think I can go to one mass without someone mentioning my grandfather, which is absolutely wonderful, because it explains to me his legacy here is everlasting, and that means so much to us.
St. Hilary opened a door for me. Number one, because I was always in corporate situations. So I didn't have time to really communicate or, you know, I did really well, but it opened a door in that I was with normal people, that you could discuss something other than corporate. I latched on it very quickly. It doesn't take me a whole lot of time to feel how I'm feeling about something or, oh, this is not for me. And people just approached me. That changed my life, basically. But I'm so with education. That's my main goal. So I set up my trust, first of all, for the church, a certain amount of money, then the school, and to the principal who had had the authority to spend it where she thought it was important, then to this program. And the program has got a stipulation that if it doesn't go to those children, it goes back to the trust. I never went away from the church. It was always, you know, my life and my family. But I just feel the church does, you know, more than I've ever done. They're always there for you.
St. Hilary Church is as great as it is because parishioners have made consistent efforts over time to make it that way. In good times and in bad, they have donated sacrificially to keep our offertory robust and to build a church hall, a school, a gym, and the hall that we enjoy today. They built up the St. Vincent de Paul Ministry and passed the faith on to their children and grandchildren, many of whom continue to attend today. They made our school the envy of the Archdiocese and created scholarship funds so that those who struggle financially can still offer their children the gift of a Catholic education. The spirit and legacy of these pioneers remain with us still. As you prepare for the Thanksgiving holiday, I hope you will take the time to thank God for your many blessings, including the blessing of this church, and that you will pray about what you can contribute to St. Hilary in this coming calendar year. Also, if God has blessed you with the means to make a legacy gift through your will and estate planning, please check the box on the stewardship card to get more information about what that could look like. Because what we do now in this life matters, but it also matters in eternity. God bless you.
Today we are asking you to do two things. First, we are asking you to make your mark on this parish like those in the video, by making a spiritual commitment of faith with your money for the coming year 2024. Second, we are asking you to consider not just your current level of giving, but whether you are also able to leave a legacy gift to this parish once you pass from this world to the next. I'm sure you know that you cannot take your money with you, but you can leave a lasting financial legacy that helps God's kingdom here on earth. Many of you have worked a lifetime to create a legacy in your own family. Well, on a spiritual level, we're hoping to do the same thing here so that future generations may reap the spiritual benefits and rewards of our cherished Catholic faith. So in addition to making a faith commitment of how much you will give this parish in the coming year, 2024, we are asking you to consider leaving a legacy gift to this parish through your will and estate planning. And in case you're a young person here today in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, you are never too young to get your affairs in order. Last week, we gave you faith commitment cards to take home. If you didn't get one, there are cards in the pews. You will see a section on the faith commitment card to indicate what your current level of giving in 2024 will be. We want you to fill in that section on the card. You will also see a special section on leaving a legacy gift or learning more about leaving a legacy gift. Remember, a legacy gift is a donation you make. A legacy gift is a donation that you make through your last will and testament. It's a gift that's given after you die. We want you to fill out that section on the card also, even if it's just to get more information. You know, no commitments are necessary, but just to get more information. Now, if you've already prayed over your financial commitment and have completed the card, please put it in the collection basket when it comes by today. We'll also give you a few moments now after this homily to fill out the card. And if you need to take it home, if you're not prepared today and you need time to pray over it or talk more with your family members, please do that and bring the card back next week. Also, those of you who are watching online, you are part of this amazing community, and we're asking you also to complete your 2024 faith commitment on our website at sthillary.org or simply by scanning the QR code you see on the screen. If you don't know how to do this, put your phone, go to the camera on your phone and hold it up to the screen and then click the button and it'll take you to our website and you can fill in the form right there. We'll leave that code up for the next few minutes. Your investment in this church through your current financial gifts and through a possible legacy gift in the future is truly an act of worship that will echo in eternity. It truly makes an eternal difference.